Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
Okay, so I want to teach tonight on the subject, make your words count. Make your words count. And let's read Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Amen. So, in other words, this scripture is kind of telling us, especially because we are before God, as Christians, as people of God, we are always before God. Even though we might maybe not be thinking about God that very split second, we're always before God. We're always, in his presence, so to speak. We're always out and about representing him. And we should, in the back of our mind, in the front of our mind, make our words count. Be careful what we say, how we say it. It's very important. And, I remember my father-in-law. He was a great man, and he was a man of very few words. Remember going over there. We'd go over there for all the family would go over there for the holidays and all that stuff. And we tended to go over every Friday night to visit them. And, he would just sit on the couch. He'd have his hand behind his back. He'd have his big old grin on his face. He'd just love all of his kids and grandkids just milling about and talking and chattering and all this stuff. And he didn't say anything hardly. He'd just be smiling. But when he spoke, he made his words count. And, he didn't just babble on and, speak just off the top of his head. He spoke and, people listened because he didn't speak that much. And, so when he spoke, everyone just, we listened. And, it's a very, a good model for, all of us to understand, when we see somebody like that, it really helps us. There's a verse in the Bible that kind of, epitomizes my father-in-law, and it's James 1:19. It said, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." And that was my father-in-law. He was quick to listen. He's always listening and learning and, taking it all in. And then he would, ask a question or he would say something. And I don't know if I've ever saw him angry in all the years or, I can't even remember. And so he was just a great example of making your words count. Ephesians 4:29 said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." The word edifying means to lift up people and encourage people, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Grace to the hearers. So, we should choose our words carefully and wisely. And I know sometimes because, if somebody's rubbing you the wrong way, it's just like you're, chomping at the bit maybe to jump in and say something. But, it's like, be careful, little mouth, what you say, kind of thing. We teach your kids all these little rhymes and little, sayings and stuff. But we need them even as adults. One person said this: "Before you speak, let your words pass through these three gates. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind?" That's a kind of a good thing to look at. Amen. And to think about. Is it necessary? Is this going to benefit anybody? Or is this just going to, is this like there's a little fire over there and I'm going to take my can of gasoline and pour it right on the fire. Let's just see what we can do. No. That's not what we want to do. Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it true? Proverbs 12:18, "Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Amen. And, you know, in the world we're living in, you know, we need good news. We need good words. We need encouragement. We need someone to tell us it's going to be okay. And, you know, Jesus has this and we're fine. Everything's going to be okay. And that's why I like what Proverbs says in 25:11, a word fitly spoken, you know, when a word that's making it count, it's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. In other words, paints a pretty picture. It's a wonderful thing. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, how many times do we want to return like an angry word for an angry word, but we got to, you know, don't stoop to the other person's low, a soft answer. It takes two to fight. So if you have a soft answer coming back, you know, that brings the temperature down. That calms things down. One person said, words can inspire and words can destroy. Choose yours well. And that's why the wise man Solomon in Proverbs 18:21 said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you think, wow, I mean, are you kidding me? My tongue has the power of death and life? It does. You know, our words can build somebody up and our words can tear somebody down. You know, our words can make us feel good about ourselves and our words can make somebody feel this big. You know, and so, you know, we're about the words of life. We are about Jesus. And Jesus came and he was about encouraging people and pointing them the right way and letting them know there's hope. Amen. You know, there's an old saying, and in one form or another, it was first spoken or written back in 1830. And that is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that was supposed to be like a saying that you taught children to help them with like bullying and people, you know, beating people up and all that kind of stuff or whatever. But let me tell you something. Words can hurt you just as much as sticks and stones. They can. Maybe even more sometimes. You throw a stick at me, you might cut me. I'll get a little Band-Aid and I'll heal up. But you give me some cutting words and my heart might hurt for a while longer. And so it's important that we understand our words, the effect they have. Because we are made in God's image and God, he spoke and his words are powerful. He gave us that kind of, a similar situation where our words are powerful as well. Amen. And they can do great things if we'll, you know, make them count. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. And that's easier said than done, right? Sometimes the guards are like called in sick or something. Sometimes the guard's off duty or something. But we need to guard our tongue and our mouth because it actually affects our soul, keeps us from trouble. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Because remember, let your words be few. And that doesn't mean you can't say a lot of words, but just make them count. You know, some people can say something in few words, and some people need more words to say, but however many words you need, just make it count. Amen. Make it substantive. Make it, you know, impactful and, you know, a blessing. Proverbs 17:9, whoever conceals an offense promotes love. But whoever gossips about it separates friends. And so, you know, gossiping is not making your words count. Amen? And, you know, I've heard this many times from people, and it's a little humorous, I guess. It's sad, but humorous. And they say, it's not gossiping. I'm not gossiping. I'm just telling the truth. If I'm telling the truth, it's not gossip. No, that's not the definition of gossip. See, gossip's not just spreading rumors or lies about somebody. It's also sharing truthful things of a sensitive nature about others. Because some things, even though it's truthful, it's like, is this really, is it necessary? Is it going to edify? Is it going to minister grace? Is it going to be a blessing? You know, or am I just like, you know, telling somebody something that's going to just hurt somebody else? Because we shouldn't allow our ears to become trash cans. Sometimes you got to say, you know, hey, I know my ears are big, but does this look like a trash can? No, it doesn't. Amen. And so a gossip, the word gossip is a noun and a verb. A gossip is the person gossiping, but gossip is what a gossiper says. So a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others is a gossip. And there's the word gossip is not in like the King James Version of the Bible, but it is in other versions. But a couple other words in the Bible for gossiper is a talebearer or a whisperer. You know, like, pss, 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 come over here, you know. I got some information, you know. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. But we are people of God. We don't want to be associated with that. Amen. And notice what that verse said that we read in Proverbs 17:9. It said, whoever conceals an offense promotes love. What does that mean? You know, if somebody did something wrong and I'm just not going to, like, say anything or whatever? Yeah, because, you know, some of it's not our business. And, you know, what are we to judge somebody else? You know what the best thing to do? You know, somebody does something or whatever is to pray for them. Not go tell somebody else, oh, I saw something. Oh, and then get on the horn and call like 50 people and say everything, you know, to these people about what you saw that person do. What is that necessary? Is that kind? No, it's not a good thing to do. When we have God's love in our heart, and that's what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost does for us, puts God's love in our heart, then we will keep things to ourselves and pray about them and ask God to help that person. You know, amen. I know sometimes, depending on what it is, somebody needs to know something or whatever, but, you know, not in a spirit of gossip, but in an attitude of helping and blessing. Amen. And concern for the person. So it's much better to go talk to God about what concerns you about people than to go talk to other people about this person. Because that's not productive at all. But you know, if I go to God, then I'm talking to God and God's going to help them. Or God will direct somebody to them that can help them. Amen. Now this concept of making your words count is also important when it comes to our prayer life. Amen. The success of our prayers does not hinge upon how many words we speak when we're talking to God. You know, and it's important that we understand that God doesn't, you know, it's not how many words we can say during the time we're praying, and that is what qualifies us for God to hear us and start working on our prayer requests. No, we can be few words with God. We just talk from the heart. Remember, praying is just talking to God. It's not like, well, you know, did you go to prayer school yet? You know, so you learn how to pray. There is no prayer school. You know, I know that the apostles, after they saw Jesus pray one time, his prayer so impacted them, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And you know what he told them? He gave them that Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, which is an outline of how to pray. It's basic principles and things to include in your prayers. But, you know, you don't have to know. You just talk to God and say, Lord, it's me again, and he knows it's you, and just tell him all about it. Amen. Matthew 6:7, Jesus mentioned this about we don't need a bunch of words when we pray. Just talk to him from your heart. He said in Matthew 6:7, he said, when you pray, Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. He already knows what you need. Amen. But he still wants us to ask, because why? Prayer is part of our relationship with God. Amen. You know, reading and studying our Bible is part of our relationship with God. Coming to church and interacting with God's people is part of our relationship with God. And God wants us to have all these things in our lives to help us get closer to him. Amen. So we just talk to God thoughtfully from our heart. We don't need to repeat ourselves over and over again. He heard us the first time. It doesn't mean you can't pray for something more than once, but like in an individual prayer meeting, like, or if you're, you know, having some prayer time here at the church or at your house or wherever, in your car or something, amen. You don't have to tell him like 100 times the same exact thing. You know, he knows what you're saying. Amen. Praise God. Just talk to him. Praise God. You know, I have found a good prayer to pray, and it's a verse of scripture in Psalm 19. Kind of goes along with helping make our words count, because you know what? God needs to help us in all aspects of our life, including speaking, you know, and what we say and how we say it. Psalm 19, verse 14, this is something I pray all the time. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, like what I'm thinking, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. That's a good prayer to pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation, the thoughts of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. And you pray it every day, you know, because every day is a new day. Amen. And why is this principle of making our words count so important? Why is it so important? Because Jesus said it was important. And it has eternal ramifications. It has ramifications for our health in our walk with God, our spiritual health. And it's important because, you know, our words are who we are. You know, you can't separate a person from their words, especially when they're speaking from their heart. That's who they are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you say is who you are, for the most part. Now, some people can, you know, fool people, you know, whatever. But if you hang around somebody long enough and you listen to them talk, especially when they're kind of like letting their hair down, so to speak, and just, you can tell they're being honest. That's who they are. Amen. And I'll close with this passage, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said in verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And that's why it's important. And I thank God, because there's sometimes I spoke some careless words. I said something that hurt somebody. You know, I said something that somebody misheard or misunderstood or whatever it was. That, you know, there's all kinds of things. And that's why I say, Lord, help me to let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. If I have hurt anybody with my words today, if I have said things that I shouldn't have said, please forgive me, you know. And I let it be a regular prayer, so, because I just want to be right with him, amen, and in good standing as I walk this path, because we're not perfect. We're just forgiven. We're on our way. We're becoming what God wants us to be, and it's a day-by-day thing, amen. You can be saved in just a moment, you know, just a short time, you know, but it takes a lifetime to be all what God wants us to be, and it's a beautiful process. And he helps us all along the way. And that's why he gives us repentance, and he gives us his grace, his mercy, his long suffering to help us through and help us make our words count. Amen.
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.